Friends, as we prepare to hear Holy Scripture this morning, will you join me in our prayer of illumination? Let us pray. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of the Holy Spirit, that as your scriptures are read and your word proclaimed, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. I invite you to stand in the hearing of the gospel text today as you are able, as I read from the 9th chapter of the gospel according to Luke, starting with verse 28. Now about 8 days after these sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which what he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my son, my chosen. Listen to him." And when the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of the things they had seen. But on the next day, when they had come down from the mountain, a great crowd met him. Just then, a man from the crowd shouted, "Teacher, I beg you to look at my son. He is my only child." And suddenly a spirit seizes him, and all at once he shrieks, it convulses him, and he foams at the mouth, it mauls him and will scarcely leave him. "I begged your disciples to cast it out, but they could not." Jesus answered, "You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I be with you and bear with you? Bring your son here." And while he was coming, the demon dashed into the ground in convulsions. But Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. And all were astounded at the greatness of God. Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God for it. You may be seated. Pray with me. Gracious and holy God, on this Transfiguration Sunday, we understand that there was this transformation that happened, that the witnesses could see, that came upon Jesus. And so today, as we reflect upon these words and what it means to be here, open our hearts and our minds to hear what you would have us hear this day. That the words of my mouth and the collective meditations of our hearts would be pleasing to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today's text would typically end at verse 36, the story of Transfiguration. And because we have this wonderful gift of the Revised Common Lectionary, there are times where there are other verses that are attached to the reading that, you know, as a pastor, I could exclude or include or however that might be. And I really felt this week that the extra verses mattered. They matter. Because sometimes we can just reflect on the Transfiguration and we see this as a holy event, right? Of Jesus calling his closest friends to go up on the mountain. And on that mountain to be shining with the glory that Jesus already had within him, but it was made visible to them on that mountain. And oftentimes we talk about having a mountaintop experience. Have y'all heard about that? Where you feel like you are so close to the presence of God that you're up on that mountain and it's such an exhilarating feeling. Here's the problem. We have to come back down off that mountain. We can't, I mean, as much as I would like to say we can stay on that mountaintop, the reality is we're going to be going through dips and valleys throughout our entire lives. And there are times where we feel really, really close to God, and there are times where we may not feel God's presence. And it has nothing to do with whether or not God is present. It really has to do with our hearts and our awareness and our openness to experience the presence of God. And so when we think about this, we hear again that they were sleepy, right? Peter, James, and John were sleepy and they could hardly stay awake, and yet they caught this vision of, you know, this, you know, Jesus with Moses and Elijah. And I can imagine that if I was sleepy and I saw something like that, I'd wonder, am I dreaming? Can I really trust what I'm seeing here? And Peter, in his sleepiness, said, oh, you know what? We should build you some dwelling places, meaning that he wanted Jesus and Moses and Elijah to stay exactly where they were on that mountain. Peter didn't know. He didn't know. And yet he did. He knew that that was not a possibility, because when we hear the 8 days prior, we need to look backwards and say, what exactly happened leading into this event on the mountain? Immediately happening before this is Jesus predicting his death. Like, he knows what the trajectory is for him, and he's proclaiming it, y'all, in chapter 9. We still have 15 more chapters to go to the end of the gospel. But he is saying, I know what my plan is. I know where I am going. And this is a key moment so that you can also understand the significance of this impending journey to Jerusalem. So they come down off of that mountain, and on the next day, what happens? There is a person who has a son who is gravely ill with the spirit, and brings this child to Jesus and calls out and said, save my son. I took him to your disciples and they couldn't do it. Sit with that for a minute. The father had taken his son to Jesus' disciples, followers, to cast out the spirit, and they couldn't do it. Which then makes me think, okay, what is it about that moment? And if you look, you know, Jesus, and I read it in a very snarky way this morning, but maybe Jesus would have done it with more compassion. You know, I've been with you. How do you not know the power that I have and the power that you have as being followers of me? Because that's really what happened. And so Jesus does cast out the demon from this child and returns the child well back to the father. But we know through scripture that there are places and moments where Jesus gives us the power and authority to do the work that Jesus was teaching us to do. Do we not remember where it says, if you have faith the size of mustard seed, could you not make the mountains move? Don't you know that it just takes a little bit to do incredible transformative power of God? All Jesus wants is for us to have that little nugget upon which to grow. So here we are on Transfiguration Sunday, marking an end of one season and moving into the next. And there is something about the revealing of the full nature of Jesus that is important for us today. There were moments where Jesus in other gospels said, do not tell people what you have seen. Do not tell people who I am or what I have done. It is not yet my time to be fully revealed to the world. That time is yet to come. And here Peter, James, and John get a preview, a trailer of the glory that will be coming. That they're seeing this revelation of what is yet to aspire. That the barriers that separate us from full connection and relationship with God are beginning to ebb away. So for us, what needs to ebb away for us? Where are those places where maybe we have put up blocks or boundaries or said, this doesn't fit within my understanding of who God is, and so I am unwilling to consider anything else? Or we look around and we say, you know what? I wouldn't do things like that. That's not really modeling who Jesus is. Do you hear the level of judgment that's in that? When we come into this place, we are called to do this inner examination to understand, God, what do I need to do so that you can be fully revealed through me? Thankfully, we don't do this alone. It is by God's grace that those barriers, those roadblocks, our judgments, our postures, our tendencies, our opinions begin to ebb away. So that when we interact with the world, when we interact with one another, what is truly revealed is the very nature of God. And we understand God to be a God of what? Love. We understand God to be a God of grace. We understand God to be a God of mercy. And by the power of our baptisms, we are incorporated into this. We are given the Holy Spirit that empowers us to reveal this to the world. So thanks be to God for the season of Lent, for us to really kind of dig in and say, God, where are those places that I need you to work in my life? What is my posture or opinions or preconceptions or judgment on everybody else? Take the log out of your own eye and do the inner work. And in that, the true nature of God will be revealed through you. And maybe we'll get to experience that mountaintop. And then we'll come back down. And we'll still experience the presence of Christ in our life, whether we are up there or where we are. And we'll be faithful. We will be found faithful. And that, my friends, is what we're called to do. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.